We have a very exciting episode today talking about how political decisions affect prophecy. Today, our expert is Bob Teal. His website is cogwriter.com, and his books are all over Amazon. The title of this episode is Trump and Prophecy.
According to interpretations that were cited in the Jerusalem Post and in Euronews, final judgment, the end of the world, is supposed to happen in 2027.
Thank you for inviting us into your life today. Together, we will confront a worldwide threat and offer actionable steps to preserve you and your loved ones' peace.
All of a sudden, all the lights are going to go out. Your cell phone's going to be dead.
Every day, things are shaping up to the end of time as we know them.
They're going to be at the top of the pile while the rest of us are completely decimated.
There is an increased threat, unlimited access to Facebook, Instagram.
Subscribe and you will be first on the list to receive the next episode, How to Maintain Peace While Facing a Worldwide Threat. Hello, this is John White with The Worldwide Threat. Today, we have a very interesting and timely podcast with a gentleman who is Dr. Bob Teal. He's going to talk to us about Trump and prophecy. So welcome to the show, Bob. How are you?
Very fine. Thanks for having me on, John.
Well, it's good to have you here. I know you're a busy guy with your writings and everything you do, but I have some questions for you. And the first question I have is, tell us about how you got involved in prophecy and becoming an expert and all that and all these things that you're doing. Tell us a little bit about your background.
Okay, see how succinct I can be. I was raised Roman Catholic, but when I was an early teen, somebody gave my youngest brother a New Testament, and I started to read it. Then I decided I couldn't be Roman Catholic anymore. So I attended Salem Bible Church for a couple of years until I was still a teen, and they sung some song about something, and I went up to the pastor and said, "Hey, the Bible doesn't teach that." He says, "Oh, you're right." I said, "Well, why are you singing it?" "Oh, because people like to hear the song." I didn't like it. So I quit attending. Yeah. So I became a part of the Church of God and was a member and, you know, heard things about prophecy and whatever, but that didn't really get me as involved. Now, my wife and I have traveled a lot, and a trip we made to the Vatican, either in 2003 or 2004, I'm there thinking, how can Roman Catholics understand there's certain warnings about some of their things in the Bible and prophecy? And I thought, well, the way to do that, maybe it is to look at church history, because Roman Catholics think they've got the corner on church history. Let me look into that. So I started to write a really long book. And this book was called The Beginning of the End of the Christian Church Era. And I did it as part of a doctoral dissertation for a PhD in early Christianity. Huh. So I'm working on this. And so first parts of the book about history. And this book is like 600 pages, single spaced, tons of references. All right. Well, my wife and I go to the movies and we see a preview for some movie about 2012. And this is in 2008. I said, okay, whatever. We go back to the movies in about 2 months, and I see another preview for it, except this time they say the movie will not come out until November of 2009. I said, you know, maybe instead of having put out this really thick book on history and prophecy, what if I focus on prophecy, deal with some of this 2012 stuff, and then I can probably get a book out by the time the movie comes out. And I did.
Wow.
And to write this book, I decided one of the things I'd look at is 2012 prophecies, as well as non-biblical ones, because the 2012 one's not a biblical one.
Right.
And so I bought various books, read kinds of things, and put stuff together. Now, the long and short of it was Sony, who put out the movie, invited me to go to see the preview of the 2012 movie when it came out. My book, I had a book there and I gave it to some of the Hollywood people.
Wow, that's cool. That's cool.
And in case you didn't guess this, my book said the world would not end in 2012. But around 32 different things that I said in the book would happen or would not happen. happened by the end of 2012. So that, if you will, kind of got my more interest in prophecy and prophetic matters. And then since then, I've written other books. I've done more research. And I did an earlier one about Donald Trump. And I think world events aligned like 20 things I had in that. And I also did one on Joe Biden, by the way.
Hold on to that for a minute.
So, I mean, that's kind of how I got to where we're at now.
Well, we're rated G here, brother. All right, so please give us the other day when we were talking, this was very interesting to me. I actually liked the movie 2012. That was really Mayan, I think, wasn't it? Mayan prophecy?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. The other day when we were talking, you were talking about different things about Trump and how prophetically there was things happening that tied to it, like you talked about Germany. So tell us a couple things about Trump and how you see that affects the world. And by the way, for my audience, you are a prophet. I understand that's a gift that you operate in. So that's going to be cool for people to look at that from that perspective. So tell us a little couple of these things that get him going.
Okay. One of the things is basically by virtue of his timing. Okay. Donald Trump inadvertently is going to fulfill various prophecies. And a book that I had that came out a couple of days before he became 47th the president this time, it's called Unintended Consequences of Donald Trump's Prophecies. But by unintended consequences, I mean, he's not trying to make the beast rise up, for example.
Right.
Okay, just use that as an example. But he is, not on purpose. Okay, since he came in office this time, the Europeans have decided they have to increase their military. They want to be independent of the United States. Germany just made an arrangement to eliminate what's called their debt brake so they can spend tons of money on their military. Zero Hedge, by the way, recently called the chancellor designee the next Fuhrer because they say he's doing, he was just like Adolf Hitler.
Holy smokes.
So... So those are a couple of things. Now, when we read the book of Revelation, we read about Mystery Babylon the Great commits fornication with the kings of the world and becomes a great trading partner. We find in Revelation chapter 18, Babylon is going to fall, but all these merchants of the world made money by trading with her. Gold, silver, slaves, etc. are mentioned in the book of Revelation. So what does Donald Trump have to do with that, for example?
Yeah.
Okay. Donald Trump has proposed all kinds of tariffs. He's put some in, some he's brought back. He's planning on putting more in. Now, this has upset the Europeans. And because of Donald Trump's re-election, the Europeans have decided they're going to agree on something called the Mercosur Agreement with these countries in Latin America, be one of the biggest trade deals of all time. The president of the European Commission, of the European Union, Ursula von der Leyen, recently went to India. Now, because they've been talking to India for a long time about making a trade deal. But it's been kind of on the back burner, just like the one with the South Americans.
Is that that Brits thing?
No, that's another thing. I can get to that too.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, this isn't BRICS because the EU is not part of BRICS.
Okay.
Okay. But we'll talk about that in just a moment. So she met with the with Modi, the Prime Minister of India, about saying, hey, let's get this agreement going. And what one thing that Donald Trump is doing is by threatening tariffs against just about everybody, other countries are saying, wait a second. Okay, I'm mad at you. He's mad at me. He's mad at you. He's mad at you. Maybe we should talk about trading ourselves as well. Now, you mentioned BRICS, okay? BRICS, for your listeners who don't know, is Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa, and a bunch of other countries have recently joined it. Thailand, which I was just at, has, I think, just joined it. The United Arab Emirates have joined it. I think Ethiopia is supposed to join it. More and more countries are joining BRICS. And one of the reasons they're doing this is to get around U.S. financial control and financial sanctions. That, according to the current head of Brazil, Lula da Silva, he said the reason BRICS was formed was to find a way around the U.S. dollar. So what these countries are doing is they're trading more with each other. Now, Donald Trump has threatened BRICS. He says that if you guys in BRICS really do come up with an alternative to the U.S. dollar, he's going to put 100% tariffs on all your stuff.
Okay. See how that works. Okay.
Well, I'm telling you what he said.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah. We know he says a lot of things he doesn't always follow through on. And look, as far as Donald Trump goes, okay, he's not the Messiah like some people claim. He's not the Antichrist that some people claim.
Right.
And we know he's done some very good things since becoming president. Look, right. He signs an executive order saying there's only two genders. Let's talk about this for a second. I have a PhD in biological science, all right? Okay, no matter what you hear from academic types, human beings are binary. You either have XX or XY chromosomes. That's binary, okay?
That's the deal.
One or the other. Okay, I don't, you know, if you cut parts of you off, blow parts of you up, take hormones, bust your bones, change your face, change your clothes, you still have XY chromosomes and women have XX chromosomes, okay?
That's
so,
the deal.
You know, Donald Trump was right to go forward and say there's two genders. He was also right to say that males should not compete against women as women in women's sports. You'd think that would be common sense.
Right.
And he also has at least temporarily cut off the funding to the pro-abortion Planned Parenthood. Okay?
Yeah.
So you know, I'm not coming here to bash Donald Trump. But, you know, Donald Trump, when they asked him about his aversion of Christianity before, they asked him if he ever repented. And he said no.
Oh, didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. I read the book of Acts, Acts 2, 38, 39.
You got to repent. Yeah, no deal without that. Right.
Okay. And I don't believe that he has an in-depth knowledge of various biblical prophecies. You know, I think I understand the guy in various respects. He kind of lets you know what he's about. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But he not being as familiar with prophecies, he simply doesn't understand how what he's doing is setting up a lot of end time events.
That's what we're looking at, is what those end time events are, because in your as you were talking about that the other day, we were also talking about what you were talking about, the Islamic piece to this. When there's something about that, you were sharing about that ties in, because if we're looking, if average person looking at this doesn't even know why there's a battle between Arabs and Jews. They don't even know how that started with Abraham, with Ishmael and Isaac. So that's when you go back to what you were talking about the other day with the Quran. I think you were talking about a little bit about that prophecy being a little funny, right?
Well, let's say we can talk about that right now, actually.
That's
and it's not
fit.
As directly involving Donald Trump, but it sort of is.
Yeah.
First, let me tell you this reason it sort of is. Donald Trump greatly offended the Palestinian Authority when he was president the first time. And they said, because of Donald Trump's plan for the Middle East, that the United States could not be a broker of a peace deal, and they wanted the European Union involved. Mm-hmm. So this ties in, that ties in with Donald Trump. Now let's tie this in with both the biblical prophecy and Islamic prophecy.
Okay, cool.
Okay. In the Bible, in Daniel chapter 9, verses 26 and 27, we read about a guy. He's a prince from the people who was going to destroy the city and the sanctuary. Okay, well, the city that it was talking about was Jerusalem, and the sanctuary was the temple, and that was destroyed by General Titus in the year 70 AD. Okay, so this was the Roman somebody from the Roman Empire.
Right.
In the future, was supposed to confirm a covenant for 1 week. Now, even the Roman Catholic Bishop Hippolytus in the early third century said this 1 week means 7 years. Okay, so most prophecy watchers consider this as like a 7-year deal.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what's this got to do with the Muslims? Well, quite a bit. They actually have prophecies that they're going to be involved. They're going to have a leader who rises up. They call him the Imam Mahdi. Now, there's two versions of it. For sake of time, let's just talk about the Sunni version, because that one is more likely to align with biblical prophecy.
Okay.
In the Sunni version, There's going to be some chaos in the Islamic world, and a leader is going to rise up. Mm-hmm. And he will be the caliph or the caliphate, roughly running from Morocco to Saudi Arabia, maybe further. And that, by the way, is what the Muslim Brotherhood wants, okay, a group that does exist right now. Anyway, they say that this guy is going to make a deal, a peace deal, with a Roman Catholic European.
Oh.
In the middle of the deal, the European Roman Catholic guy is going to break the deal. Well, we know in Daniel 9:27, it says in the middle of the week, the deal is going to be broken.
Right.
And if we go to Daniel 11, verse 31, we see this guy who was the prince, he's now called the king of the north, is going in and breaking that deal. Well, Islam takes it a couple steps further. Not only do they say you're going to break this deal after 3.5 years, then Islam teaches that the Antichrist is going to reign for the next 3.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And that is consistent with biblical prophecy. I would say the beast tribulation. And Antichrist will reign during the Great Tribulation, that period of time.
Right.
Anyway, then Islam says Jesus will return and destroy the Antichrist. Well, you
Amen.
Can read that. Yeah, you can read that in Revelation chapter 19.
Mm-hmm.
Now, where Islam doesn't have it right is that they say when Jesus returns, he's going to tell everybody that Islam is the great faith and everybody needs to follow Islam.
No.
I, on the other hand, I wrote a book about Islamic and biblical prophecies. I, on the other hand, have said to Muslims, when Jesus returns, he's going to be Christian, by the way, and he's going to tell you that. So when he does tell you that, okay, understand you shouldn't be Muslim anymore. Okay.
Yeah, all right.
That's the gist of a book. By the way, that book, that one is an ebook available online for your readers at ccg.org. Okay. It's called Islamic Biblical Prophecies. It's free. Okay. You can just, you can read it and read some other things from the Quran. So that's tying in Islamic prophecy with biblical ones. And one of the reasons to mention this, if you don't mind, is one of the first interviews I did for the 2012 book. A woman says to me, this was a telephone interview. She said, you're talking about the beast and the false prophet and Antichrist stuff. Well, everybody knows about this stuff. Okay, so they're all going to see it coming.
Yeah,
I said,
right.
Oh, no. Yeah. Right. And I said, oh, no. Now, I want to make it absolutely clear. I believe in biblical prophecy. However, the Apostle Paul says we're not ignorant of Satan's devices.
Right.
Okay. So going to the Chinese, for example, in the Tang Dynasty, 6th to 9th century, they've got a couple of prophecies. And by the way, I bought this book on Chinese prophecies when I was doing all this 2012 research a long time ago.
Holy
anyway, it says, beautiful people come from the West. Well, let's see, what's west of China? Europe, okay. China now has a saint. Well, Chinese don't really have saints, that's interesting. And he's not that good of a person. Well, Antichrist is not going to be a good person.
Not a real good guy. Yeah, right.
Okay, so you've got almost 1.5 billion Chinese. So they're kind of set up for this. Then I mentioned the Muslims. They think this deal is going to happen. They're going to support this deal because it's in their prophecies. You got about 2 billion Muslims. All right. What about the Hindus in India? There's about 1 billion of those.
Right.
Now, they say that a leader called the Bhagwan Kalki is going to rise up and that people should take up arms to support this guy. Now, back in 2009, I speculated that this did not have to be a person who was Hindu and he did not have to be of Indian ethnicity. All right. Get this. Donald Trump, when he ran or became president the first time,
right,
a political leader in India said that Donald Trump was the Bhagwan Kalki. Now, he's not, but this is what they said. So this proves my point that a Caucasian of European heritage, I realize Donald Trump is United States, but he has European heritage, could be the Bhagwan Kalki. And the other funny thing about some of the Indian prophecies is that this guy is supposed to rise up in 2025, 2026, or 2027. Now, I realize Trump's in office, but I do not believe he is the Bhagwan Kalki. Okay, but you got 1 billion Hindus. Now, what about the Greco-Roman Catholics, okay? Right. They have prophecies from their seers, their prophets and seers, that go back to the 4th century to present, that says at the time of the end, Europeans will not be very good Catholics, okay? Now, I've been to Europe a zillion times, and that would be my observation, too.
Well, okay? That's not new.
Yeah, but this is a prophecy that they have.
Yeah.
That it'll get so bad that God is going to cause some kind of trouble over there, which they call the minor chastisement. We might call it perhaps the beginning of sorrows that Jesus referred to in Matthew 24, Mark 13, right. Luke 21. All right.
Birth time.
Then they say that a leader will rise up. He'll be not a leader everybody really wanted, but he'll rise up. And by the way, you can read about somebody in Daniel chapter 11, and one of the Protestant translations calls this guy a reject, who finally rises up. Okay, so they've got this guy's going to rise up. Now, according to Roman Catholic prophecy, there will be signs in the heavens. And we know, by the way, you read in 2 Thessalonians about signs and lying wonders are going to accompany this guy. And a pontiff who does miracles will appoint this guy the new emperor, head of the Holy Roman Empire, or the revised Holy Roman Empire.
I.e. Pope. And that's,
a pope will anoint a leader, the beast, to do this. Right. Now, that's in their writings, lots of their writings. When I was doing research for the 2012 book, I was able to find a book that was not on Amazon, by the way. It was written by a Greek Orthodox scholar who moved to the U.S. So I got a bunch of Greek Orthodox writings in addition to a bunch of Roman Catholic ones I already had bought. And they basically say the same thing. So when these people rise up, you've got 2 billion of the Orthodox and Roman Catholics. You got 1.5 billion Chinese, 1 billion Hindus, and the Muslims are working on something else. You got 2 billion of those. You add that up, that's a lot of people. So I tried to explain that, most of that, to these radio hosts out of Sacramento that, people are not going to see this coming. But it will rise up. And one of the reasons that I have cited Greco-Roman Catholic prophecies or Hindu prophecies and Chinese prophecies and Muslim prophecies are to tell people of those groups, listen, we understand your culture. Okay. The Apostle Paul said to the Jews, I became a Jew, the Greeks, I became a Greek, all things to all men by which we could save some, right?
Yes.
So I've tried to come from the perspective, look, we understand aspects of your culture. We understand what your prophecies say, but believe the Bible, because you guys are going to be supporting the wrong side.
Right.
Bill, and hopefully this will make their conversion easier.
Because
we don't want to go ahead.
Well, I was going to say to you, the other day when we were talking about what the last Pope idea.
Oh,
and
yes.
Didn't Francis come back out of this crud recently?
Yes, and it's amazing about that one because he could
be the last guy. He could be the one.
He could be. If we see certain miracles. Now, about setting that up, I saw an article from a Roman Catholic publication online yesterday where it said that they were debating if they're going to pull the plug on him this time. And I saw one this morning that said, actually, this is the second time they talked about pulling the plug on him. But he hasn't died. Now, and he's around. Now, as far as the last pope goes, both the Jerusalem Post and Euronews in the last couple of weeks put articles out about the Malachi prophecies, which are Roman Catholic, from a Roman Catholic bishop in the 12th century, regarding who could be the last pope. And so with the current pope, if he starts to do these miracles, then I would say he is the last one.
Hang on.
But if he doesn't, he's not.
he's 11 and a half instead of 12, what you said, right?
Yeah, well, what I said was
111 and a half.
Well, let me explain this for your listeners. This Catholic bishop named Malachy, mm-hmm. and was in Ireland. And actually, my wife and I visited a church that was dedicated to him when we were in Ireland a few years back. Mm-hmm. He was going to Rome, and he was at some hill, maybe Vatican Hill or whatever. He claimed to have a vision of the future popes. So he wrote down a few words in Latin about each one. And his list is remarkably accurate. Now, some people say it was a fraud. It was a forgery because they didn't find it out until the 15th or 16th century because it was in the Vatican archives. And they looked back and said, hey, how could he have gotten all these right? It must have been written afterwards. Okay. Well, that would be an interesting argument if the ones later were wrong.
Right.
But they're not. You can have them apply to all of them as long as you include a few anti-popes in there. Okay, mm-hmm. The Malachy list works. Now, so according to the Malachy prophecy, there's supposed to be 112 popes. But over 100 years ago, the Catholic Encyclopedia said there could be popes between number 111 and the last one who's 112. Mm-hmm. And a book I bought that was written in 1969 by a Roman Catholic by the name of Peter Bander said there could be popes between 111 and 112. On the other hand, you have people out there who believe that Pope Francis isn't the Pope for lots of reasons, including the fact the election was invalid because Benedict was alive. Therefore, this guy is not the Pope. So the mm-hmm. next one is going to be number 112. So those are some of the arguments out there. Now, mm-hmm. why? What's this 112 have to do with anything? Well, according to interpretations that were cited in the Jerusalem Post and in Euronews, mm-hmm. Final judgment, the end of the world, is supposed to happen in 2027. They base this on a particular pope who was in office 442 years ago, being the middle of the Malachy list. So they added 442 years to that to get to 2027. I'll say not only is that wrong, it's a real stretch. You know, I bought a book on the Malachy prophecies and read them. Okay. And I didn't see this idea that there would be this midpoint and then that. And I also think 2027 is too soon. We haven't seen the deal of Daniel 9:27 yet. So I think 2027 is too soon. But it is interesting because it is, you know, pointing to our time, just like some of the Hindu prophecies are pointing to the 2020s as a time of change. Now, the Hindu prophecies, by the way, make them sound pretty good, that you know, this Bhagwan Kalki is going to go in, the world is going to prosper. And we know that part of the world is going to prosper, including India, during mm-hmm. the time Mystery Babylon the Great is doing all this trading. Okay,
right.
So
it's so anyway, amazing stuff.
You
and I could go on. There's other topics I want to have you do with this because you got all this cool stuff on the prophetic and also this governmental stuff. So Trump, between him and Elon Musk and what's going on in this country right now, people are kind of paying attention. But before I cut you loose, this is what I'd like to do, just share with you. The reason we started this podcast is because we wanted to be able to present threats to people and also give them solutions to those threats. And right now we have lots and lots of people watching these podcasts. And so the idea is to bring experts like you online, have you describe a situation or a problem or a threat and also a solution to that threat. And then what we do, I think you might have known that, is that we create an action guide at the end of the podcast that points back to your writings and also lets people see the podcast again, because there's a lot of stuff to unpack. And but the primary thing I want to ask you today, especially, is who you are. What would you say to my guests today to give them peace about all this?
Well, Jesus said to be not troubled. Okay. And so just be not in the world, there'll be tribulation, but be not troubled, do not fear. I've overcome the world. Mm-hmm. And Jesus in Luke chapter 21, verse 36 said, pray that you be counted worthy to escape all these things and stand before the Son of Man. And while national repentance could delay what's happening, read that, for example, in Daniel chapter 4, I'm not expecting national repentance. I know some people are. I'm not. But individual repentance is. And we're supposed to trust in God, and walk by faith, not by sight. I'm not afraid of what's going to happen. The Bible tells us what's going to happen. You know, we see in Revelation 19 about the Spirit of Jesus being the Spirit of prophecy, as this is to motivate us. You know, in the end time, most Christians, according to my read of Revelation chapter 3, are lukewarm. And part of the purpose of prophecy is to, light a fire under one. Maybe that's not the right expression, but I'll use it. Is to get people to realize the Bible is true. These things are coming to pass. Take the Bible seriously. And I would say what it says in Jude verse 3, contend earnestly for the faith once for all delivered to the saints. So that would be my short answer to that.
Well, we're living in the Church of Laodicea. A lot of people think, "Be ye not cold or hot, be hot or cold, or I'll spit you out of my mouth." And we can dig into that, basically, what that church is all about. So people are hot or cold, and so if there is any kind of revival, at least in people, then they'll be prepared. And with all the religions you were talking about, and all the countries you're talking about, none of them believe that Jesus Christ is the only way. They all have these patterns. And so I just like supporting you say, they need to get a heads up on following what's going on, our audience does, and ask Jesus for a relationship. And so that's kind of what we do. Even though we don't present this as a Christian podcast, we present it as a solution. And some of the stuff you're providing us gives people an awareness that I didn't even think was out there, to be honest with you. So I really appreciate that. So what I'd like to do is bless you for the day. We're going to close out this podcast. Watch for it. I'll be calling you back for some other stuff. And I know you're busy. You probably got about 9 things to do after you get done with me today. And so I'm really thankful that you shared your time with us, Dr. Bob. That's what I'm going to call
Thanks
you, Dr.
For having
Bob.
Me.
Blessings, brother. Please help us to help you be WWT informed.
China is going to be more of our enduring threat using coercion.
Who are the people that we can trust around us? The Bible tells us that in the end times, they're going to be able to follow anything that we do.
There's equipment on our grid that adversarial nations can flip off the switch.
It's already happening, so there's proof.
Are the American people going to rise up?
Please like, subscribe, and click on the notification tab, and we will send you advance notices about upcoming episodes and the threats to be discussed. We will provide you each week with an action guide that details everything that may help you and your family have peace over these threats.